What were the New Testament churches supposed to do with the epistles they received? That very interesting question is what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, as you probably know, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got questions, send them to us. Email is radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's talk with Dr. Bob Wilkham and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning into the show. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're taking your questions. We're going to start a new series soon, I think, on salvation in different books of the Bible. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I think so. I just did a journal article, which will be published later in 2021, on salvation in five different New Testament books. And I showed how the word save or salvation are used consistently in these five books. Each book has its own consistent meaning, but never in reference to being saved from eternal condemnation. And so, yeah, I think we'll do a series on that because I think it would prove profitable. It's basically a word study on the word sozo, to save, and soteria, for salvation.
And by the way, you can pick up, if you're a new subscriber, can pick up a year subscription to the journal for something like $9.95. You can go to our website, faithalone.org, subscribe to the Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society. Older issues, like from 2 years ago and older, are available for free at our website. But if you want a year subscription, it's $9.95, and you can pick up the latest of these deeper, more in-depth articles.
Right.
All right, here's a couple questions. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All
right. Let's give it a try.
All right. So this is a question from Otto. And Otto says, was the intention of the Bible writers that each book or epistle be explained verse by verse or chapter by chapter to the congregation? For example, let's say the epistle to the Ephesians, was it intended to be read at once to the congregation, or was it intended to be explained through expository sections that might take 6 months?
Well, that's a good question, and the answer is we don't know.
Right.
What we do know, Otto, is that they were to read the letters.
Yeah.
And so Paul says to Timothy to give attention to the public reading of the scriptures. Not only did they read the New Testament letters that were circulating, but they also read the Old Testament scriptures, and they would have readings that they would do. And so it makes sense that we would read aloud entire books of the New Testament, but there is no requirement that we do that today. They were doing this when they would receive a letter.
Yeah.
And then how do we preach? How do we teach? We're not exactly told in Scripture. So it's certainly appropriate, and I think the best way is to go verse by verse through a text and just teach right through the text. Now, I personally think it's a good idea to craft a message in such a way you know how long it's going to take, and you know where you're going to end.
Yeah.
It is possible to teach through the Bible and just say, okay, we're now in verse 3a, and we're going to end here today.
Right.
And next time we'll start in 3b, and then we go as far as we can. That's a fine way to do it, too. That's more or less how seminary classes go. The professor has an idea how far he wants to get.
Right.
But if he doesn't, it's no big deal because he's got another class in a day or two.
Right.
In terms of churches, I think the best approach is to preach sections, whether it's a paragraph or a couple of paragraphs or even a chapter. But you're preaching a section within a book, and you try to find out, okay, what's the purpose the author has in putting this in his book? And then you preach it or teach it in light of what the author is doing. But having said that, the Bible doesn't forbid topical preaching or topical teaching. I could talk about faith, and I could pick verses on faith. I could talk about repentance and do various verses on repentance.
Right.
But I think for the most part, Otto's question implies that maybe we should do it verse by verse. And what I have found is I am personally most edified that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that I have a greater impact in people's lives if I teach the Bible verse by verse. And there's too much of a risk of me just preaching my own ideas if I'm doing topical all the time.
Right.
I find, like right now, I'm preaching through Mark. I just finished Mark chapter 6 this last Sunday. And I find it constrains me because I'm going through and saying what Mark is teaching.
Preaching the text, you're going to have to talk about whatever the author is talking about. Now, I can imagine, let's say, the Ephesians or the Corinthians getting this letter, and how are they receiving it? They're going to receive it in a home. There's going to be a leader in the home. Usually the person who owns the home is
right.
kind of presiding over this, and they're eating a meal, and they have this letter from Paul, and they're reading it. Can't you imagine people just discussing, like, wait a second, what did Paul mean by that? And then maybe people are, like, talking about that and say, I don't know what that means.
Right. And obviously, if it's a longer letter, the letter to Rome, for example,
right.
you're not going to be able to read the whole letter and discuss the whole letter
right.
in 1 hour meeting. In fact, even reading the letter in an hour might be too much for people. You
right.
know, you might read it into various sections of the book. And of course, at the beginning, it didn't come with chapter divisions or verse divisions. In fact, the words weren't separated. That's why when Paul says, give careful attention to the public reading the scriptures,
yeah.
if you saw the words, God is now here, that could be misread as God is nowhere.
Oh, I see.
Because it was all stuck together.
That, the way Greek was written, it's
yeah.
like, it didn't always have spaces between words.
Like, at the beginning, they put what are called uncials, capital
yeah.
letters, and they were just all pretty much stuck together. Occasionally,
yeah.
they would abbreviate, like theos might be theta sigma,
yeah.
and the reader would know that they're just leaving out the epsilon and omicron. So that you would know it to read theos, even though all you see is theta sigma.
Sure. Well, I hope that answers your question, Otto. Here is one from Jim. And Jim says, and this is good because he just taught through Mark. He says, when Jesus was calling the people of Israel in Mark 1 to repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom.
Right.
Why wouldn't he tell them that they needed to believe in him for eternal life the way he told Nicodemus in John 3? Why would he just cut to the thing that they needed the most first?
Well, that's a good question. Let me say what I said just this past Sunday when I was preaching at the end of Mark 6, and then we'll look at this Mark 1, 14 and 15, and that is Mark's gospel, as well as Matthew and Luke, Mark's gospel is not written to tell unbelievers how to be born again. It's written to born-again people to tell them how to follow Christ in discipleship.
And now, so, how do you know that from the book?
Well, one way that's real simple is in Mark chapter 6, which is what I spoke on this past Sunday, Jesus feeds 5,000 people, right?
Yeah.
Five little breadsticks, kind of like what we get from the Olive Garden. These weren't giant loaves of bread. These were little loaves, little breadsticks.
Right.
And two little dried salted fish.
Mm-hmm.
And he feeds 5,000 men plus women and children. And we know from John's gospel that this sign is followed by a sermon on the bread of life.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says, he who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. So Jesus makes an evangelistic application of the feeding of the 5,000. Guess what? That's not found in Mark 6.
Mm.
Why? It's not because Mark doesn't want people to come to faith in Christ. It's because Mark is writing to believers. And so here in Mark chapter 1, when we come to this preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, or the good news that the kingdom is drawing near, Mark doesn't tell us what else Jesus said at this particular time. He
Right.
probably did evangelize at this particular time. But in any case, it's appropriate for the Lord to sometimes call the nation to repentance. And that's what we're seeing here.
Well, I will agree, Jim, that it'd be really nice to have an example in one of the synoptics of Jesus calling people to believe in him for eternal life, as, you know, and to clarify, this is part of the gospel of the kingdom. You need to do this first, and then you can do this stuff later.
Right.
But yeah, he just doesn't. We can speculate, okay, well, Mark doesn't need his readers to know that. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of an interesting question. Because obviously believers need to know, we need to be reminded of this all the time as our ministry, we
okay.
see in our ministry all the time.
Just a quick aside, when we're reading Esther,
yeah.
do we criticize Esther because, you know, we don't even see God's name in Esther.
Right.
And on top of that, there's no evangelistic message in Esther or Jonah for that matter.
Right.
We don't see the evangelistic message in Jonah. In fact, we find it very rarely in the Old Testament, Genesis
right.
15:6. Maybe Genesis 3:15, a few, but we don't find the evangelistic message. So do we then say, wait a minute, they didn't They weren't writing correctly? No.
Right.
And the same thing with the New Testament. Now, I mean, if you're reading Philemon, good luck finding Paul's evangelistic message.
That's right. So it's okay for Mark to leave out the evangelistic message.
I think it's okay.
Yeah. And then we can kind of speculate about why he would have done that. Maybe he was writing to believers. Maybe he's writing to churches. Maybe this is about discipleship. But you don't think this could have been written to Israel to tell them what to do to receive the kingdom? Because it is about the gospel of the kingdom, which is for Israel.
Well, it's interesting. We have a purpose statement in John's gospel, John 20, 30, and 31. We don't have purpose statements that are clear in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So it leads commentators lots of questions. Could this be written to unbelieving Jews? I'd say no. It could be written to believing Jews or believing Gentiles or a mix, but I don't think so. But why don't we read briefly? We haven't read it yet, have we, or have I forgotten?
I don't know. There wasn't a...
Mark 1:14-15.
Well, okay, so Mark 1:14, after John the Baptist is put into prison and John the Baptist has been preaching the gospel of the kingdom, it says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'"
Now, the gospel here is not 1 Corinthians 15:3-11, Jesus died, was buried, he rose and appeared to many. The gospel here is the good news that the kingdom is drawn near.
Yeah.
And the nation had to repent for the kingdom to come.
Yeah.
And we see that throughout the ministry of John the Baptist and Jesus calls to repentance so the kingdom might come. And we also see it in the early chapters of Acts where the apostles are reoffering the kingdom.
Yeah.
So the issue here is not evangelistic.
It's not evangelistic in the sense of individually being born again.
Right.
But it is evangelistic in terms of the gospel of the kingdom.
It is.
Yeah.
Because evangel means gospel.
Right. And that's another lesson for you from Grace and Focus. And we're so glad that you're listening. Keep on sending your questions to radio@faithalone.org. And be sure to go to our website. Go to that search bar. Use it. We have hundreds of articles and audio on just about every verse you can possibly think of. Just go there, faithalone.org, put in your question, put in a keyword, and you'll get all kinds of free resources, including our podcast. See you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about whether it's possible to be justified by works. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.